the sun's riding bareback tonight on top of an old swayback mare, and you're driving away out of sight with ribbons of my breath in your hair. I tied ribbons of my breath in your hair.
You're listening to the voice of one of Wisconsin's most talented singer-songwriters, someone with a growing reputation in national folk music circles, Katie Dahl. She has three CDs out, County Line, Leaky Boats and Paper Birds, and Victory Farm, which is music from her musical Victory Farm. It'll be on stage again this year at the American Folklife Theater in Door County. That musical tells a little-known piece of true Wisconsin history, the story of German POWs who came to Door County during World War II to help save the cherry crop. Katie Dahl is here in the studio with us today with her fiancé, bass player Rich Higdon, and make some music and talk about loving this Wisconsin landscape we all share. Welcome, Katie and Rich.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. Katie, you have deep roots in Door County, right? Your family was one of the original cherry growers there?
They were. My great-grandfather, I believe, was one of the first to experiment with cherry growing in 1911. And that orchard is still in my family. My cousin is a cherry farmer, and I think the cherries just bloomed, so he's looking forward to harvesting. So my grandmother was born there, and that was the last generation of my particular line to be born in Door County. But deep roots.
So ever since I moved to Wisconsin, I mean, now it's been 20, 30 years, but I've been aware that there's this mystique about Door County. You know, it's a place that kind of seems to have its own distinct culture. People feel very strongly about it. I mean, all you have to do really is say Door County and people kind of light up. What is it about that place?
I don't know what it is. I think that my friend says Door County is a coy mistress. People try to leave, and they have a hard time pulling themselves away. And I think a lot of it is the fact that it's a small town. It has sort of three things. It's a small community, which people are drawn to in the first place. But there's also a huge arts culture because there's such a strong tourist draw there, and it also is so beautiful. So those three things combined, I think, make it really hard to leave.
And for you, it's deeply personal, right? Because you had those family roots in Door County, but then you pretty much grew up in Minnesota, I think.
That's right. Yep. So I grew up visiting my grandparents in Door County, and I loved those visits. I fell in love with the place, and I fell in love with the theater there, American Folklore Theater, that's now doing my play. And all these things were really formative to me as a young child. And when I was in college, I got an internship working at Door Shakespeare, a theater in Door County. And as an adult, I found it just as amazing as I had found it as a kid. And then I decided to spend my first winter there in 2008, which is a whole different breed of thing.
if you're still there, that's
I know.
Something.
It's magical in whole different ways. Magical in how many different things can you think of to do on a night when there's nothing else going on, or how many times can you go to the four restaurants that are open in the winter? But Door County is beautiful in the winter, and I have come to love it for its own particular kind of beauty.
Well, is there a song you could start us off with, something that expresses the essence of Door County, what draws so many people back?
Absolutely. I can sing a song that I wrote. I wrote it from my uncle's perspective. He did not grow up in Door County, and I think he wishes that he had. I wrote this song sort of about that mystique, about how hard it is to leave. And I did write it before I spent my first winter there. So it comes from that perspective. But I still feel this way. And so this song is called County Line.
Mother left her cherry orchard home the day that she turned 18 years old. I hear she grew up with nimble fingers, a piano player and a cherry picker, sifting through the trees for bright red gold.
But that day she left to seek her fortune, crossed that county line and moved on down the road. She says there's no line quite as thin as that county line. No sin, just like leaving all behind the land of cherry trees and pine for. Baby, in my mind, I'm always looking back to find that I'm a pillar of white salt beyond that line. Well, she was a pastor's wife. I am his son. He took us far from my mother's county line. We crossed state lines like criminals, moving boxes full of old hymnals. Glance back at all the sin we'd left behind. But when summer came, my mother brought us back again. There I found the only home I'll ever find. Because there's no line quite as thin as that county line. No sin, just like leaving all behind the land of cherry trees and pine for. Mama, in my mind, I'm always looking back to find that I am a pillar of white salt beyond that line. It's hard to believe now my mother has been 10 years gone. It's hard to believe I've got a pulpit of my own. It's hard to believe my mother's cherry trees are growing toward the sun. But I feel so far down and miles away from home. Now I count the days like a blind man, counting steps on the way back to his chair. Sometimes I wish I could go back again, show my wife and kids where I really am, pick some cherries and send my mom a little prayer. And the first thing I would say to her is, how'd you ever tear yourself away from there? When there's no line quite as thin as that county line. No sin, just like leaving all behind the land of cherry trees and pine for. Mama, in my mind, I'm always looking back to find that I am a pillar of white salt beyond that line. I'm a pillar of white salt to a different place and time.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Thank you.
Thanks.
Did I catch a biblical reference there? The pillar of salt. This is Lot's wife.
Yep, that's right. I have a whole host of pastors and seminary professors in my family, and so I feel like I always put biblical references in, and sort of afterwards don't. I just put Nineveh in a song, for example, and I thought it was like a good thing. And my mom was, and because I was like, Jonah went there after he got out of the whale. And my mom said, no, well, it's a sinful city. And I, oh, oops.
That song is just so suffused with this deep love and even nostalgia for this place, Door County. And that's it gets me because, I mean, I think if we're lucky, we have that feeling of attachment, of deep connection to a place. Not all of us have it, and not all of us get to live in the places that we have that attachment to. I'm trying to think what my question was, but have you always had that feeling about Door County?
Yeah, I think I felt sort of like Door County was Hollywood and the people who lived there were all celebrities. And I get that sense from people who visit now. Oh, you live here year round. Yes. Because I do think it's a huge privilege. I feel so lucky to get to live there. And I never thought that necessarily would be the case. I thought, oh, if I could live anywhere, I'd live in Door County, but I can't do that. So where else might I live? And sort of the same way I felt about being a musician. If I could do anything, I would be a musician, but I can't do that. So what else? But I did get to live in Door County and be a musician. So I feel really privileged.
But the places we love are not always necessarily, we don't love them necessarily because they're spectacular. You know, you have that feeling about Door County, and yes, it's a magical place. Lots of people think that it's a magical place, but I have that feeling about both my parents grew up in Springfield, Missouri. Springfield isn't necessarily a huge mecca for tourists because of its beauty, but the rest of my life was lived in Manhattan and New York City, but we went every summer to my grandparents' place, which was in the country, and it was the place closest to my heart. My sister and I used to lie in bed at night and mentally walk ourselves through my grandparents' house and the blackberry patch and the creek where we paddled and played. And it killed me when my grandparents died and that place was sold and it's not in the family and I couldn't have lived there. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean about you're lucky if you get to live in
so
the place
lucky.
You love.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But that also gets this other question about, I think that's what all of us want, right? To love the places that we live and to live in places that we love. So how do you go about, if you don't live in a place that you fell in love with, how do you build that attachment, grow those roots?
Well, that's a great question. I think off the top of my head, I lived in several different cities in the winters that I wasn't spending in Door County after I spent my first adult summer there. I lived in Boston for a winter. I lived in Minnesota for a winter, or Minneapolis for a winter. I lived in Chicago for a winter, and though I didn't live there long, I do have a strong feeling of affection for those places. And I think a lot of it was getting out into the city, into the place that you're in, and being with people that you love is important. And I think that can cultivate a sense of home wherever you are.
Well, I'm also thinking about the concept of sense of place, because so many of your songs really evoke a sense of place. What does that phrase mean for you?
Well, I think it's a slippery phrase. I think because I think there is no place that is separable from its people or from its institutions, of course. So so though those things may come and go, of course, anyone's sense of place and mine is determined by the people and the organizations that I interact with and I'm in a place. But I also think it's about specific geography of a place and coming back in a circular way to those places and maybe being able to know yourself, to have known yourself in a lot of different times in your life at one constant place, if that makes sense. So I have now, because I've been coming to Door County my whole life, I have now known myself, for example, at the Village Hall in a town called Ephraim as a small child going there for performances, as a young adult working there for a theater, as a older adult playing music. And so a lot of different kinds of experiences in the same spot.
We're talking with singer-songwriter Katie Dahl. She's got three CDs out, County Line, Leaky Boats and Paper Birds, and Victory Farm, which is the music from your play, right?
That's right. So
we'll get to talking about that in just a minute. And Rich Higdon, her fiancé and bass player, is here as well. And you can join the conversation, too, if you would like to. I'm curious to know, do you have a deep sense of rootedness to a certain place? Do you maybe live in a place where your family has lived for generations? And if so, what does that mean to you? 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can use to call if you want to join the conversation. Or you can always email us. The address is talk@wpr.org. More music coming up. I'm Anne Strange Champs. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to 45 North on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Katie Dahl, Wisconsin singer, songwriter, and she's here with bass player Rich Higdon, performing some music for us and talking about Door County and sense of place and how to learn to love the places that we live. And Katie, is there another song you could give us?
Sure. This is a song. This is a song about a community or a sense of place that's created in a really short time. This is a song about summer stock theater. It's called Kathleen.
Well, she comes driving in the springtime up from somewhere by Racine with Copenhagen in her pocket, a quilt of patches on her jeans. We all stop to watch her as she starts to set the scene. We all feel our walls crumble and fall every time we see Kathleen. We say, hammer me a nail, Kathleen. I think you could hold me together. Won't you build me a fence, Kathleen? So I know light these dying embers if you paint me the sky, Kathleen, before the summer sun is gone. She takes the houses out of hiding, she nails the trees into the ground. She hems our dresses and our heartaches. She makes us feel like we've been found. And if we could write the story, if we lived within our dreams, we take her to town, we dance the night down, we would crown her as our queen. We say, hammer me a nail, Kathleen. I think you could hold me together. Won't you build me a fence, Kathleen? So I know where I belong. Your hair is burning like a fire, Kathleen. You could light these dying embers if you paint me the sky, Kathleen, before the summer sun is gone. She feels alone. Well, who could ever know? Who could ever touch Kathleen? Met him in the summer on the shortest of the nights, walking tall along the high wire. She was hanging up the lights. He started singing in the darkness, just a hoping for to please. He opened his mouth and diamonds fell out and nearly brought her to her knees. Said, I'll hammer you a nail, Kathleen. I will try to hold us together and I'll build you a fence, Kathleen, so we'll know where we belong. Your hair is burning like a fire, Kathleen. I could watch it shine forever. Let me paint you the sky, Kathleen, before the summer sun is gone.
Hospital. Beautiful. Thanks. Thanks. That's Katie Dahl. And hey, a reminder, if you're wanting to know where you can hear Katie play live, you'll find a link on our Facebook page. That's 45 North on WPR. And her musical, which we'll get to in a minute, Victory Farm. It's playing this fall at the American Folklore Theater in Door County. And we were talking about sense of place and loving the places that we live before we took a break and before your song. And we've got a caller on the line. Margaret's calling from Illinois. Hey, Margaret, am I right? You grew up on a wheat farm in Kansas?
I did. And I can hardly talk without crying after hearing those songs. It's so beautiful. I've moved 22 times and taught all over the United States, but always almost worshiping the landscape of Kansas and the weather and the winds and everything that is it Katie is singing about. It means so much because something in you is always looking for home, for where you belong. And it's I took my children to the farm in the summer after my divorce to their grandparents. So much just speaks in your music. I have to get this music.
Margaret, what did that farm look like in Kansas? I think of Kansas as a really flat landscape, which can also be beautiful.
There was a theologian who taught at Wichita State. She thought the same thing till she moved there, and she said, it's not bland, it's subtle. And when you go through the Flint Hills, the shadows and the light, it spills. It spills light all over you.
Do you think landscapes, I'm curious, create certain kind of characters? Because I'm thinking about that. Okay, you go ahead and answer then.
I just do, very, very much. And when I go back there, because I have lived all over, there are so clear regional differences. And so many of the people there, I know instinctively how to talk with them. I've never lost that. And there's a comfort that you slip into, almost like a nightgown. You just do.
Thank you. That was just beautiful. Thank you so much for calling.
Very beautiful. I think I should write a song just based on all those beautiful words you just used.
We're talking with Katie Dahl. And hey, if there's a place that is rooted deep in your soul that you love as much as Katie loves Door County and Margaret loves those wheat fields in Kansas, call and tell us about your special place. It's 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Katie, that song you were singing is partly about summer theater, which is another really special experience. And you're the maybe the third person recently I've talked with. Oh, and I think the novelist Emma Straub has her novel Laura Lamont's Life in Pictures is just out in paper. And the beginning part of that is set in summer theater.
Oh, really?
In Door County.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she used to vacation there as a kid. Now she lives in New York City, but the beginning of that is set at a small regional theater in Door County, and then Laura Lamont grows up and becomes a movie star. And
wow,
you know,
probably my
on.
Friends feature in that in sneaky ways.
So what is it about summer theater that makes it such a special experience for so many?
Well, I think that the you're thrown into this place and you have a limited number of people that you're interacting with, right? Maybe 30 in a lot of small theaters, maybe 20, and you have to sort of make your whole family out of these people because it's really a time intensive job. You're working 6 days a week, often 10 to 12 hour days, and especially if you're young and doing all the grunt work. And I think that you really have to find people who can be your parents or who you can find a way of shepherding or whatever it is that you need to express. You have to find in that group of people. They're your only lifeline and your only community. So it can be really, really intense and really amazing.
And is there also, you know, some of the whole the magic of putting on a play, you know, the smell of the grease paint, the roar of the crowd. Is there that too?
Absolutely. There is absolutely the magic of putting on a play. And it's amazing to have practiced something with just your own little tribe for 3 to 6 weeks. And suddenly there are other people watching you. It's always surprising. We didn't think they would ever come. And particularly the theaters that I have worked for in Door County, both Door Shakespeare and American Folklore Theater, are outdoor theaters. And that's a whole different world, watching the lights come through the mist of the trees and sometimes there are actual trees coming up through the stage of American Folklore Theater. It's a pretty stunning backdrop for a play.
Well, this is a perfect segue. Tell us about Victory Farm.
Sure. Well, I co-wrote a musical called Victory Farm with a friend of mine, collaborated on the book and lyrics with me. Her name is Emily Coulson. And then we had a composer write the music. His name is James Valk. He also wrote The Spitfire Grill, which you may have heard of. He wrote the music for The Spitfire Grill with Fred Alley, who was the lyricist. So Victory Farm is about a little-known chapter in Wisconsin history about German prisoners of war who came to the United States to perform agricultural labor. There was such a labor shortage here, and there were also so many prisoners of war that we were holding in Europe. So instead, they decided to bring many of them here to do agricultural labor. And 2,000 of them came to Door County to pick cherries.
But this is an astonishing story.
Isn't that
German POWs? I mean, this is a long way to send them.
I know it. Well, they sent them on the returning, I think they were called Liberty ships, and that had brought American troops over to Europe. And then they had to come back anyway. So they filled them with German POWs and brought them back here.
I just had no idea.
I know. It's very surprising. And they were all around Door County. In fact, there's a barracks on my family's property that German POWs were housed in.
You're kidding.
They were the barracks was moved there after the fact, so they weren't on my family's farm, but they were on all the farms in northern Door County scattered about. They helped build things in the state park. They were a huge presence for one summer.
Did any stay?
They were all forcibly repatriated after the war, but some came back. Most of them stayed pretty under the radar. You don't hear about them a lot. But many of them came back throughout the U.S., but especially to Wisconsin, because there were so many people of German descent in Wisconsin. And so it was a program that was especially well suited for Wisconsin and for Door County specifically.
So I can imagine what rich material for a play in terms of thinking about relationships that must have formed, friendships developed.
So rich. I'm glad you think of it. I also think it's a little bit counterintuitive. I know what we'll write a musical about, the German prisoners of war. But
in a cherry orchard.
In a cherry orchard, yes. But it following on Chekhov's heels, I guess.
Right.
But it turned
out the Wisconsin
out,
Chekhov,
right? Exactly. That I shouldn't get in trouble calling myself that. But it did turn out to be incredibly rich ground. And in fact, we had to invent some of the drama. From what we understand, everything was really harmonious. We interviewed a German POW who's 90. He's back in Germany. And he said, we loved it there. And I said, well, certainly there was some conflict. No, no, we loved it. But certainly people wanted to go home. No, no, we had a great time. So we had to find other ways to make the story rich. We did put some conflict in there.
Mm, wow. Well, that actually, I was thinking about learning that history and how it must deepen even further your attachment to Door County, because I always think that that's part of sense of place. We're talking about sense of place is knowing something of the history of the place where you live and the people who have lived there before you. So we've got people who have called who have some other thoughts about special places. Maya in Madison, I think. Maya, you had something to say about Washington Island?
Yeah, I am actually. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm actually from Sturgeon Bay, but my mom grew up on Washington Island, and so my whole extended family has been up there for years, and I go there every summer. And so this is actually my first summer. I'm 21, and it's my first summer that I won't be up on Washington Island.
Wow.
And so hearing your music is just kind of reminding me of, you know, just Door County in general and the special place it is, and the strong attachment that I have there, and just the community, you know, specifically on Washington Island, everyone knows everyone, and everyone is friends. And so for me, it's just that one special place that I know if anything happens, I can go back to. You know, and I've got a great support system there.
You're lucky to have that.
I'm very fortunate.
Thank you so much for calling. And also, I think Nora in Price County. Also, Nora, hi. You were raised in northern Wisconsin?
Yes, I was. I was brought up in Price County, and I'm 70 years old now. And I remember as a child laying on the grass and looking at the sky and thinking, oh, I can't wait to go and see everything. And I did, kind of. I lived in many big cities in the States, and I lived in the south of France, and I lived in Mexico 10 years, and guess where I am?
Back home in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, and it's brought me peace that I have, and I've loved everywhere I've lived, and I've always left when it was just time. So I have very fond memories of all these places. But here's where I grew up, and it's taken me a while. It took me this hard past winter. I live right on a lake in a little cottage, and there's so much beauty, and I'm finally attached back to that nature that I felt as a little girl. So I had to say this, and I'm loving your show very much, and your voice is beautiful.
She does have an absolutely gorgeous voice. Nora, did you have to, I don't know, change, grow up, develop somehow to be able to come back home and love it the way you do?
Well, you know, I had no intentions of ever coming back here. And I came back to take care of a relative, and she passed on a couple of years ago. But I had already moved here. And I've never had a lot of money, but I've always had enough to move and get settled. And that's what happened here. And the first winter, which was a real easy winter-wise, but I was uncomfortable. I mean, I was, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And this last winter, I got kind of stuck in my little cabin, and I love it. I've fallen back in love of, like, when I was that little girl going down the Spirit River and, you know, sitting under the trees. And, yeah, I'm a very lucky human being.
Oh, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. You know, that's such a tension, I think, in both in all of us personally and in American culture, really, the desire to see the world. You know, America was created by people who wander and, you know, always setting out for another frontier, and the desire to make a home someplace. I don't know, how do you cope with that yourself, Katie?
I definitely find it a tension in my own life, and I spent a lot of my time after college traveling. I lived in the south of France too, actually, and really valued that experience, and I miss that now. I haven't traveled outside the country for a while, but it's also something that I craved when I was traveling so much to be here, and it's important to be in one place, to be rooted. And it's important for me to remember that now that I, when I do feel the wanderlust coming on, thinking, wow, but this is great too. For the first time, I've lived in my current apartment now for 18 months, and that's the longest I've lived anywhere for since I was 15. So,
wow. Well, we're talking with Katie Dahl, and Rich Higdon is here too. Rich, you're not saying much, but he's here. He's been playing the bass, and they are playing for us, which is great, and talking. Katie has three CDs out right now. County Line, her first, Leaky Boats and Paper Birds, her second, and Victory Farm, which is the music from the play we were just talking about. And she also performs, well, I think you're going to be performing all over Door County this summer.
That's right.
Yeah. So lots of information about that on Facebook. Our site is 45 North on WPR is our Facebook page. That's it. So I'm Anne Strangechamps, and you are listening to 45 North on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back with Katie Dahl, singer-songwriter from Door County, who is playing for us. And we're also talking about the places that we love most and how we fall in love with the places where we live. And we were talking about your musical, Victory Farm. Actually, we've got a little clip from that. I wanted to hear a bit of it. So here, let's play this.
It is hard to think that our home might not ever be the same. We may lose the place we love. Maybe you not understand how this feels.
Maybe I do. Could you tell me about it? The place that you love?
But you want to know.
What is the color of the sky there?
Blue.
And the color of the sun?
Just like gold.
And the color of your summer fields?
Green.
What happens there when summer's done?
The air turns cold, but the colors on the autumn day. I don't even have the words to say. Makes you never want to go away. It's a wonder to behold.
What is the color of your mother's hair?
That's just great. That's an excerpt from Victory Farm, the musical that we'll be performing again. This will be its second year at the American Folklife Theater in Door County later this summer. Such fun to hear the German accents. And
isn't it? They did a great job with those.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that... the places that we love, and especially that last caller, Nora, and I'm sort of mulling over in my mind whether that's something that an older generation knew, that it's taken a younger generation kind of a while to rediscover the value of being rooted rather than running out to see everything. It might not be generational. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think in some ways the grass is always greener. So I wonder if maybe if you're a person who is rooted, maybe you love where you are, but you wish that you could travel. And maybe if you're traveling, you wish that you could be a little bit more rooted. So maybe as a generation, my generation has been able to travel more than my parents' generation, or certainly than my grandparents' generation. And I wonder if that has led us to see the value in the opposite.
Well, yeah, that's what I was. That's really what I was thinking, is that it's your generation that is creating the new localist movement. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at your guitar case, for instance, which has the bumper. It's covered with bumper stickers. And one of them I'm looking at says, "Be better to your neighbors and you'll have better neighbors." There's another one, you know, "Local loves everyone." There's another one about eating at hometown.
Breaking by bread at hometown tables. Yep.
Right. So do you have the feeling that this is something new, a new kind of localist movement that's happening?
I do. Or rather, it's something that we've had to rediscover because everything has gotten so nationalized. There are everywhere you travel, there are huge conglomerate restaurants. That's actually, I wrote a song called Hometown Tables about the value of local restaurants as opposed to big chain restaurants. And that really is near and dear to my heart. I think it's really important. Our economy is one place where we find a sense of place, and how we spend our money, where we eat our food. That's really important. How we determine our place in the world.
Well, you just set it up perfectly. Will
I
you
did.
Play it for
sure.
us? Okay. And then we've also, I know, got callers on the line. Stay with us. We'll get to you. Anyway, so let's see. What's this one going to be? Hometown Tables?
Hometown Tables.
Great.
I wrote this after they tried to put a Subway restaurant in northern Door County, so.
We've got goats up on the rooftop. We've got whitefish in the bay. We've got spotted cows to fill our cup at the end of every day. A white gull roosts at the end of Main Street, just a block from summertime. Autumn days that flow like water, winter nights that glow like wine. Well, we got singing by the fireside, we've got dancing in the barns. Sometimes the northern lights go rolling like a sky-high ball of yarn. Some folks pray for rain on Monday, some just take it as it comes, straight from the mighty hand of God to the top of his thumb. And I say keep the door wide open, I say welcome, come inside. I don't want to be unfriendly, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I say some things still are sacred. Please don't try to chain me in. I'll break my bread at hometown tables in the company of friends. Well, my grandma rests up on the hillside, I'll be with her by and by. But for right now, she's just dreaming, and I think she's wondering why we'd give up all this gold for just some flashing in the pan. Why we trade this milk and honey for a supper from a can. And I know we are not the center. I know this is not the end. I know winds are always changing. I know strong trees have some bend. Oh, there are wars across the ocean. There is terror in the sky. Folks are building up their fences. There are bigger fish to fry. But this is the home I've searched for, and I will not be misled. Sometimes the place that matters most is where we choose to break our bread. I say keep the door wide open, I say welcome, come inside. I don't want to be unfriendly, I'm not trying to be unkind, but still are sacred. If you try to chain me in, I'll break my bread at hometown tables in the company of friends. I'll break my bread at hometown tables in the company of friends.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's just great. So while you were playing, we got some emails. And this listener, Nancy, emailed to share her special place. She says it's the Upper Peninsula and northern Wisconsin. People are so authentic. No game playing here. No competition for clothes, cars, home. Wonderful ethnic foods, nature galore. She says if you need a neighbor, they're there. If you're stuck in a ditch, husband will pull out your car. Wife will invite you in for coffee and cake pieces. It's Wednesday or Saturday night. You'll be invited to take a sauna. The people are as pure and stubborn and rugged as the beautiful land.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it is really beautiful. And folks on the phone, Ken in Hingham, hi. You've been patient. Let's hear what you're going to tell us about.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Anne, for 45 North. It's just been really great.
Oh, thank you.
And also, Katie, thanks for your music. And look forward to seeing your play. It sounds like something I don't want to miss.
Oh, thanks.
We love Door County, too. We're down a couple hours south. Love Washington Island. But what I want to talk about is our little place we call home. After college, we just made it our goal to try to get back to our home area and purchased my wife's great-grandfather's bungalow that are not bungalow, but Arts and Crafts Four Square that they put up in 1917 and have been restoring that and have it pretty well in shape. And now we're working on a barn.
Wait, you live in the home that your wife's great grandparents built?
Yeah. It's something that you can't describe. You know, when you're doing a little remodeling or whatever and you come across a brick with M carved in it for the last name of the people that originally built it in the chimney under the plaster, you know, things like that, that you can't replace it. But Hingham is a little town in the valley with a mill pond yet, and it's good people, and we call our little farm Deep Roots. So
that's perfect. Oh, Ken, thank you so much. That's great to know about. I don't know why it makes my it's going to sound corny. It makes my heart swell to hear stories of people who feel so deeply rooted. It just seems so right.
It does. I agree.
Yeah. Judy in Bloomer is also calling to tell us about actually a special place in Italy. Is that right, Judy? Oops. Maybe Judy went away. Okay, I don't hear Judy right now. So we were talking about that localist movement and that as being something that's kind of developing. How do you see that sort of playing out where you are?
Well, what's amazing about Door County is that a lot of the people that I know, even before it became trendy to be local or buy local, were growing their own food, and we were able to get it from them. So we get local goat cheese, we get local goat yogurt, we get local eggs. We have about 5 different egg friends we can go to if we need those. So that's one way that I see it playing out. Another way is that every time I go into a restaurant in Door County, I can bet that the owner or a member of his or her family is going to be there. I know the people who run the places that I patronize. And I think that's so important. I feel connected to the services I receive. And, I really makes me feel like a more connected citizen. So it means a lot.
And going back to when you were talking about your own deep roots there, your grandmother, do you have anything that she wrote?
I do. Yeah. My grandma wrote a memoir about her life growing up in Door County, and I love it because I see myself circling around to a lot of the places that she was. In fact, I have a little section here that she about her first musical expeditions. And in fact, she bought her first piano at the Ephraim Village Hall, which I mentioned earlier. So I'll read that. Her name is Barbara Dahl. When I was 9 years old, Uncle August and Aunt Matilda Erickson asked me if I would like to take piano lessons. I was delighted. The folks had no money to spend for music lessons. Uncle August had a steady job and had more money than we did, so I began taking lessons from my elementary school teacher. She lives down by Beach Road Market, and I would walk down there for my lesson each Saturday. Lessons cost 50 cents. My only problem was we didn't have a piano at home. We had an old piano organ. It looked like a piano, but you had to pump it like an organ. How I wish for a piano. One day we were at a rummage sale in the Ephraim Village Hall. Mom was talking to the man in charge. Very casually, she said, "I don't suppose that piano is for sale." And he said, "Well, not really, but I guess we could sell it for a couple of dollars." Mom gave him $2, and I had my piano. I was elated. So that's the end of the section. And I was so glad when I read that the first time. The Ephraim Village Hall is where I met my fiance, Rich, who's here in the studio. It's where I had my first live musical performance as a musician. So it's amazing to me that my grandmother bought her first piano. And though it's an old stone building, it's amazing the history that's there.
Wow. Okay, Judy from Bloomer called back. Hi, Judy. Do we have you on the line now? Let's see. Wait, why can't we hear poor Judy in Bloomer?
I'm here.
Oh, wait, there you are.
I'm here. Are you there?
Hi, Judy. Yes, we heard you. Thank you for being persistent.
I almost forgot what I called for.
Well, my note says you have a place that is special to you in Italy.
Yes, that's right. My maternal grandparents came to the United States from Pamatico, Italy in 1892. And it wasn't until about 15 years ago that I had an opportunity to visit the village. And it's a very small village in southern Italy, kind of in the rugged area. It's a very depressed area. They were stricken with poverty, I think, from the beginning of time. But anyway, I finally got a chance to go there. And I've only been there four times. But from the day I set foot in this little village, I felt like I was coming home. It's a very hard thing to explain, but I've been there four times, and we have met people who have become very dear friends. The last time we were there about a year ago, I actually found the building where my grandmother was raised. We visited the church where both my grandparents were baptized and then married in the church. And it's just, my heart is just there. It's so hard to explain it to anybody, considering that I haven't been there that many times. But I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I think that rootedness is what we're talking about in this hour. Katie and Rich, I want to thank you both so much for being here. And is there something maybe even just play us out.
Sure, we'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, and I'm going to say while they're setting up, 45 North is produced by Marika Suval and Rhonda Fanning. Thanks also to Dave Potraz and Joe Hartke for technical direction. We've been talking and listening to Katie Dahl, and she's got CDs out, and you can see everything on our Facebook page, which is 45 North on WPR. And Katie, I'll let you take us out.
One. Three. Oh.
Well, my friends across the sea feed me the fruits of the water, winter wine and honey from the bee. If I'm feeling faint, they bring me apricots and butter. I've got another home across the sea. And my friends across the sea come and meet me at the station, bring me bon courage and bel esprit. If I lose my way, my friends just find me where I'm waiting. I know they will treat me kind across the sea. Si je me perds chez moi, on ne me cherche pas. Si je me perds là.